Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We are so excited that you are here today. Hallelujah. Thank God for just another time that we can come and study the Word of God and get an insight, a foresight, oversight on what He's trying to tell us today. Amen. No matter what we read, we are able and should, amen, apply it to our lives and what God is doing with us and through us and how we should be living this life, amen, so that we may please Him and so we can be a walk, amen, for the kingdom. Amen. So we thank God for those of you who are here. We honor you. We praise God for you. And on behalf of our Archbishop Ruth Smith, we thank God for you. We welcome you to our Noonday Bible Study. We are in the book of Romans, Romans the 6th chapter. Amen. And Paul is trying his best to get the people and the saints at the church in Rome, amen, on one accord, and to let them know about their salvation. Let them know that God, amen, already paid the price by giving us His Son, amen, who redeemed us. And we are now free, amen, from the bondage of sin. We are free from the penalty of sin. We are free from the works of sin. Hallelujah. And we are free, amen, in Jesus. And without Him, we have no freedom. And we thank God for Jesus paying the price, amen, that we could not have paid. No matter what money we have or whatever we had, we could not have paid it. And we thank God that Jesus came down, amen, and paid our penalty of sin for us. So we thank God. We welcome those of you who are online today. Thank God for you. We appreciate God working in your life. We love Him for everything He's doing. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So without further ado, we're going to have the speaker to open up in prayer, and then we'll get started.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank You and we bless You. And Father, we just thank You today for being here, for that we can begin to read and come to a better understanding of Your Word. We thank You, Father, for this house of refuge. We thank You for this. Father, we thank You that we can go out being better saints, better witnesses into a dying world. So many things are happening in the world, but it's not a surprise unto us because we are heading toward those last days, those end times. Father, and we thank You right now that we're building ourselves up not to bring salvation to ourselves, that we may go to a dying world, Father, that we be able to get to someone, Father, before disaster strikes, Father, that we will have Your word, Your anointing, Father, when we go out, that we can be able to give a word that will bring salvation, that we can be able to give a word that will bring encouragement. Oh, Lord, we thank You for those who are over this Noonday Bible Study, pastors of Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We thank You, Father, hallelujah, that we are able to come together and that we can rightly divide the word of truth. That, Father, we pray that we can get the understanding of the full intent of what the author had in mind when he wrote these scriptures, Father. That's the way we are going to get the whole truth out of it. Bless each and every one, Father, in this study today. Bless our hearing, what goes into our ear gate, God. Hallelujah, Father. That we know, Father, that there's no error in Your word. Let us all hear the same thing. So we can do as Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we all speak the same thing, that we all say the same thing, that we'll go out of this place, Father, in unity of the word, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah, and His mercy is everlasting. Hallelujah. We thank God, amen, for Him being God Almighty. Amen. We're in the book of Romans, amen, the sixth chapter, amen, and I think we stop at the 14th verse, but I'm going to give us just a little recap of the 11th verse, and then we'll come down. And Paul, again, is trying to encourage these Roman saints, amen, to know that their salvation is secure, and is not secure by them doing whatever they did or whatever they're going to do. They cannot earn this. It was a gift. And so with a gift, you don't earn it, but you receive it. If you don't receive a gift, you will never get it. You can have gifts that are waiting on you, but if you don't accept those gifts, you will not enjoy the benefit of the gift. And so we see that God gave us a gift through his son, but many have not accepted the gift. And so he's telling the saints in Rome that, listen, you have been given a gift, and so you can't work to get this gift. You have to accept this gift through faith. And so he went by and tell them all about, it ain't about who you were as far as Jews, because we have a division in the church. You know, you have a Jew, and then you have the Gentiles, and then you have the Jews trying to tell the Gentiles that you must be circumcised, you must do all these rituals. And he's telling them that, no, we are all, by faith, are all one in Christ. And he began to even break it down and saying, listen, Abraham, who you talk about is your father, he was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. So don't be caught up about you being a Jew, because Abraham was a heathen. He was a Chaldean. And so you can't boast on you being a Jew, because it only came, Israelite came out of Jacob, and all the way down from Abraham. But Abraham's father was not a Jew. And so he began to tell him, so you can't brag on that. It's by faith that Abraham became the father of many nations. It's by faith that Abraham did what he did. It was by faith and not by works. And the same thing with us. It's by faith. And so he goes on to continue to tell them that, now that you know, I want to bring you to maturity. I want you now to recognize that you are free. And the thing is that freedom has a responsibility. And he talked about how that with one man, he began to show the analysis between the first Adam and the second Adam, how one brought death and the other one brought life. And the question we had is, when death came, it came over everybody. And now life came, but you got to choose life. And so the thing is, he also went down and tell them that now you are free from sin. And the difficult part of that is that we are free to sin also. He has set us free, but the freedom now gives us the ability that we can sin, but you got to choose not to sin. And so the power of the Holy Ghost inside of us will enable us to be able to fulfill that, because we can never do that on our own. Amen? And so we get into the sixth chapter where he said, just because sin is in our members, we're not going to continue in sin. God forbid. And then he said that now if we have been crucified with Christ, we are dead to sin, and we should be living a new life. He's bringing the telling us that we need to recognize and pay attention that now we have been crucified and resurrected. Because Jesus was crucified and resurrected. And so the crucifixion is no good without the resurrection. Because our sin debt would have been paid, but then we won't live again. Yeah. Life would not exist. And so we have to recognize and count what Jesus did for us twofold. Where we were crucified, we died to sin, and now we live to Jesus Christ, right? And so if we look at Romans, and this is what he's saying in 6 and 11, and so you too consider yourself dead to sin, but live to God in Christ. Therefore, and so 12 is saying, therefore do not let sin reign in your body, in your mortal body. And that's why he said, don't give your body an instrument to sin. Because now you have the power to not let sin reign. That's why he said, let not sin. So we have the power to do that. Before that, we didn't have the power. Before God saved us, we didn't have the power. We were slaves to sin, right? Because now a slave don't do what he want to do. The slave do what the master says. And whoever you serve, that's who your master is, right? And so he's saying now, don't let sin reign. Don't let it have dominion. Don't let it have the power over you to have you doing things that you know is against the will of God. And he said that, therefore, let not sin reign your mortal body so that you obey its desire. And do not offer your parts, your members, to it, to sin, as weapon of unrighteousness, but as those who have who are alive from the dead, offer yourself to God, and all the parts of yourself to God as weapon of righteousness. In 14, where we stop, for sin will not reign over you because you are not under the law, but under grace. So we thank God that we are now under grace. So we don't go to the law, because all the law did for us is let us know that we did sin. But the law did not have the power to free us from sin. And so we now know that grace now gave us the power to be free from sin. And because we, Paul said in one I don't know if it's, can't remember if it's Romans. It's later on in Romans where he said, present your body a living sacrifice. Now that makes it difficult if you're going to do it on your own. Because now you're supposed to be dead, but you're still living. You're supposed to be crucified. That natural man is still in you. You in it. And so if you don't be careful, it'll still have authority over you if you let it. But the thing is, the only thing is, now once you've been born again, you have to let it have control over you. But before, now we have a choice where now we can be free from anything that happens with us. So we're going to be, any comment on those that's from you, where we at right now? We are free from sin. We got freedom. But just like the slave, after you get free, you got to eat. Where you gonna find food? Where you gonna find water? You got to work. You're responsible now with your freedom. There's a responsibility that goes with it, and a lot of people don't understand responsibility. They want to have stuff, but don't know responsibility. Even if you get the car, there's responsibility. Oh, Lord, bless me with this. Oh, God, bless me with that. There's responsibility that comes with everything you get. Especially when I'm going to get my own car. I'm going to get my own whatever. There's responsibility comes with that. You got to pay for insurance. You got to pay for tag. You got to pay all these monthly payments. You got to pay all these things that bring responsibility. So the same thing when we are free, there's responsibility that we have to make sure we take care of.
I guess in a kind of a roundabout way, I was thinking about the liberality that we have in this new, the freedom, but Paul was saying through Christ. Mm-hmm. It's only, through Christ, and we'll be getting to that other reading. But then he was just explaining to them, these certain truths in that, because it comes by faith, and then faith comes by another truth. And that truth comes by another truth. And leading into this time of year, I was thinking about the, I guess, the preamble to Declaration of Independence. And, you know, in the wording of the truth have come from the Creator. That they, and so Paul was trying to tell him this in the same way. And, it's, you know, it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men mm-hmm. are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And so Paul is almost trying to get them at this entry level in their faith. I mean, I was just saying, look how the wording kind of goes there. And then among these, and he begins to name these truths that comes along with this liberality, this right, and they are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I was just kind of thinking the parallelism in that and what we're reading right now.
That's good. Anybody else? Amen. That's good. But freedom ain't cheap. And it comes with responsibility. Yeah. And so, okay, we're going to start with verse 15 and 16. And we're going to start with Elder Davis. 15 and 16.
What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to him ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Well, we see here a continuation where God is giving man a choice, just like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. They made the wrong choice and they failed. So now here we come with Israel. God wanted Israel to be prophets unto the entire world, to the Gentiles, but they failed through unbelief. So that Adam allowed in the garden is the main obstacle for this holding back between God and saving the world. If they had accepted the righteousness of God, they had believed the righteousness of God, they would have been used to go out all the world, and we would be in that situation now where we would see a world without darkness. But because of their sin, because they didn't partake or believe in it, because they didn't catch on or go along with it, they got dispersed throughout the whole world. And now God is in the process of drawing them back. Because when all this started, Jesus said, I come to save the household of Israel. Then Jesus recruited Paul to preach to the Gentiles, because Israel didn't accept the charge of the commandment or to do what God told them, because they didn't accept Jesus. They through unbelief. And say, as time went on, as time goes on, now God says in Isaiah, who shall go for us? Who shall we send? And they say, we looked out among man, and there was none qualified. There was none that could do the job. And Isaiah said, well, here am I. I am a sinner. I come from sinners. I have a foul mouth, but I'm willing to go. Send me, I'll go. And they said, nah, you're not man enough. So Jesus said, okay, prepare me a body, and I'll go. So he came down through the lineage, 42 years, got inside a woman. He had to come as a man because man failed as a man. If he came as God, Satan would have been, okay, you God, they just live it. Then because what you can do for them within all the blessings and all this stuff. But Jesus said, prepare me a body. He came down, and everything he did in the body of a man, as a man. And so that Satan, when he's going before the throne of God, accusing man of not doing what God told him to do, he then could have said, God did it. A man didn't do it. So when Jesus came, he came as a man in the body of a man. And this complaint, this excuse about sin, you have no more excuse. You can choose sin. Deuteronomy 30:19, God says, I call heaven and earth to bear witness that I, not Satan, have set before you this day life and death, blessed. Choose life. So that choice is still in front of us now. Choose what you choose. We see that what we say with our mouth has a big influence on how we live, what we receive, and all this stuff. And so Satan wants to come along and get inside our head, make us say stuff out of our mouth that's not lined up with the word of God. And there's spirits sitting there by your mouth, your gate, your door, waiting to hear what you say. Satan going to pick it up, or the spirit of God, the angels of God going to pick it up. And when you say something that's contrary to the word of God, something that's not lined up with your faith or what you believe, like we always start, now we always, sometimes we say, oh, my feet is killing me. That's not in the word of God. But if you keep saying a thing all day long, pretty soon that thing is going to happen. You get up in the morning, boy, it's a pretty day, and by 11 o'clock you start saying, ooh, it's going to be a rough day. I just got a feeling of my toes hurting. It's raining and my corns are hurting. And all this stuff, pretty soon, that is what's going to occur. That's what's going to come up. But if you get up and you say, man, it's a beautiful day. Ain't nothing going to deter me from the word of God. See, my grandmama, they used to go around with them aprons on their hand, and they'd be talking to Satan. And they didn't care who heard. Satan, you done messed up now, boy. You thought I was on your head yesterday. Today is going to be a rough day for you because I done been to the throne room. I done went to the prayer room. And I'm ready to go. Get up. What you waiting on? That's the kind of stuff they talk. You can go around the house and you can hear them praising and shouting God. And they didn't care who heard it, you know. I got a sister-in-law now. You go down to her house, you catch it up by herself. She locked them doors and turn on the CD. You think they're doing a wrestling match in there. And she being there by herself. Well, a lot of older people did that. A lot of people that want to do it now, they want to be ashamed of it. I don't want nobody to know, you know, and all this stuff. But Satan is trying to get in his head so he can get into your heart. The only way he can get into your heart is if you let him there. And he wants you to say the thing that is not of faith. The Bible says that anything that's not of faith is sin. He don't care how you sin, as long as you sin. So you can tell God, look at that, she's sinning. You know, she says she believes, but that she believes you're going to supply all needs, but she down here playing the numbers trying to get a rent money. I'm through.
For that 16, going back to like we did, finished up last week with the wording under the law in verse 14, and that was to be under the administration of a covenant that by its very nature cannot overcome the power of sin. So Paul was talking to them about being under the law. You know, just the very nature of it, it doesn't work. But under grace, now, that administration is a covenant where Christ himself conquered sin on our behalf. And then he's using this regular language to them in 15, you think this, oh, think not, and I say not, never. And actually, he just said, come on. Even anybody with common sense would know that. If you're serving under a certain master, that person, if you being obedient to him, they're your master. It's kind of like in the Old Testament, come let us reason together. And Paul's just saying to them, come on, that's common sense. I don't need to repeat that to you, not in a theological sense. He said, if you're a slave under sin, then that's going to lead you to eternal death. But if you're a slave under the righteousness of God, it's going to lead you to eternal life. And so he goes on simplistically in this thing, and then he reminds them of a sort and says that grace is not an absence of God's law. So, just because we're under the dispensation of grace, oh, no, and you have liberality and freedom, that doesn't mean we kick God's law out the door. And like you said earlier, we have this choice to make. And as Elder Davis just said, I set before you life and death. Choose, and he tells you what to choose. You don't even have to scratch your head about it and wonder. So that's what I got out of 14 through 16.
Go ahead. Are you raising your hand?
No,
I'm sorry. You're just saying glory to God. Okay. He's giving them some praise. Okay. And we got to be careful as saints not to yield our members to unrighteousness, because we can do it so quickly, and because of our nature, because we got some people are just mean and nasty. They saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But because of their nature of being that way, they can easily, without the Holy Ghost taking control of them and fully yielding to it, that they can easily, before you know it, they're nasty with you, and they ain't trying to be, but because of that nature that's on the inside, that's fighting with that Holy Ghost, before you know it, somebody's been nasty to you. And now you think that's a believer, and now you question it because believers don't do this. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? And so it behooves us to make sure we don't yield our members for unrighteousness. And so we got to make sure, and the only way to do this, and Paul's going to get into it when he gets into the 8th chapter. He's going to tell us how this is done when he gets into the 8th chapter. And because, the 7th chapter, he's going to say we got this battle working against each other. He's going to go through all that. But in the 8th chapter, he's going to tell us how we can conquer that thing, because it's something that we deal with, and it's real. I mean, we can try to think it doesn't exist, but we just fooling ourselves. Our nature has to be under subjection. And the only thing can help that is the Holy Ghost. But the issue is, I'm about to say problem, but the issue is that we have to allow the Holy Ghost to do it. Because he's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. So we got to be very, very careful when we live this life not to offend and let our nature let us go back in our flesh, in our old ways. Don't go back to them old things if you want to. And if you do, we have, because of grace, we can repent and go back and say, I treated you wrong. Please forgive me. And that's forgiven. And so grace is like love. It's, I believe, two of the most misunderstood words. A lot of us don't understand grace. And we don't understand love, because we take love to be, all these different fun to somebody, infatuated by somebody, just want to be on somebody. We don't understand the true essence of love. That's why they have different types of love, different types of love, right? Because we don't understand agape. love. That's what we should have. We don't understand that, because how could you love somebody who's your enemy? How can you love somebody who's really trying to destroy you? How can you choose a person who's going to betray you? And you spend 3.5 years with them, sleeping with them, knowing, not that you're surprised by it, knowing what they're going to do, knowing that you chose them for that purpose. That's got to be agape. Because, you know, we ain't going to hang with nobody who don't like it, right? And so we got to be careful not to yield our members as instrument of unrighteousness. And when we know that we got grace, now grace doesn't just only let you know that there's a wrong done, it now tells you that you don't have to stay wrong. Yeah, if you made a mistake and you didn't do the right thing, now you have grace that covers that for you to come back and say, okay, please forgive me. Now, that's what grace does, but a lot of people think grace just is, I did it wrong, and so what? Because it's grace, I don't have to repent. Yeah, just let it slide under the rug now. I did it, but I got grace. No, grace is, it starts in you to say, okay, I did wrong. Now, please forgive me. So when you repent, that's the value of grace. Give you recompense after you repent. That's what grace does. But a lot of people think that grace is that I ain't going to get punished for it. That's what a lot of people think grace is. That's what I'm saying, grace is a misunderstood word. We think because we're under grace, we can do what we want to do. And that's why Paul said, God forbid. Because they would, I guarantee you, they were in this Roman church, that's what they were doing. That's why Paul said, no, you can't do that. You can't just do that. Because people would say, well, you know I didn't mean that. They know they hurt your feelings. You know I didn't mean it like that. There you go. That's the first thing they say, God knows my heart. Yeah, but I ain't God. I'm the one you offended. If you were just dealing with God, that's fine. God knows my heart. You're right. But so we got to understand, as believers today, we can't afford to let what we say, what we do, be offensive. And then talking about the person, you shouldn't take offense. Offense is something you got to take, but you shouldn't give it either. You should walk where you're not offensive. Now, if the truth is going to offend them, then that's something different. Yeah, season with grace. Yeah, yeah. And you can't just people how you want to talk. You know, because all of us deserve grace and respect. No matter who you are, you deserve respect. And so we got to be careful how we, you know, try to govern over people and think that I can say what I want to. No, you can't. That's a child of God just like you. No matter who you are, no matter what standard you, no matter what position you have, whatever you have in life, we are still all God's children. And so it behooves us to make sure we don't yield our members, because it impacts the body of Christ. We have ism and schism because this person ain't going to come to church no more. This person ain't going to do that no more. And now in their head, Satan is saying, see, I told you. So we're giving Satan weapons to use against a believer, right? So we got to really, really get careful in that. Okay, that's 15 and 16, right? Okay. Any comments on that? Those of you online, if you want to discuss, please press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live and we can hear what you have to say about this word today. Press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live. You'd be raising your hand if you press 1. Press 1 on your phone. Hallelujah. Thank you all for being out there. We appreciate y'all's support in the name of Jesus. So we're going to go to verse 17 and 18, right? 17 and 18, Elder Heath.
Had the New American Standard. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Amen. So he's saying, thanks be to God. He's telling them, once you were wholeheartedly obeying sin, and you put everything you had into it, you know, without question, you know, it didn't matter to you, you know. Yeah, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die or something. He said, but now do the same thing with the gospel that's entrusted in you, that salvation, that thing which delivered, that was delivered to you and that was delivered upon you in the form of so much that it's become a mold, or it should become a cast that you fit comfortably into this righteousness state that is not the sinful. And he's just saying, you know, I think the thing that got me, my wording in 17, the latter part of it, and says, you became obedient from the heart. And I went back, I said, oh, man, you know, obedient from the heart, you know, not just obedient like you were following ritualistic laws that they were adding to and trying to keep that. But it said you became obedient from the heart. And I think because maybe some people even in churchism, try to become obedient from what they say, these rules and regulations or traditions of men. And then they think that, you know, or wonder, why did I have, you know, true salvation? Did it stick? Was this thing? Why am I going back to the old man and the old nature? But he was saying this thing entrusted in you, this word of God that you yielded to with your whole heart, then and as you set that as the foundation, and of course Paul is building and building on this, but he's saying that this word now entrusted to you, it becomes like I'm gonna use an old word here, a plumb line on the foundation. You know, you get that. He's trying to still work with getting this foundation straight, these fundamental truths in them, so they won't be a wooed and swayed with every wind of doctrine. And yet he's trying to bring them from the milk, you know, more into the meat stage. But he's saying you can't flutter back and forth. I just see the value of what's been put in you or cast on you, or where you are right now. And if you believe this, like you believe what you was doing when you was out in the world, you know, then you become the righteousness of God.
So now we were slaves to sin. Then we're no longer slaves to sin. We are slaves to God.
Mm.
So we just switched. My mama say switch partners. Switch masters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, but the difference is, sin has no compassion.
Amen.
Sin has no grace. So when you, and you know what, when we were sinners, we did something good, right?
Oh, yeah, that's
good. Right? Because you have people who say, I'm good. So you ask them if they say, guess what they're going to say? I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it says good in everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell them that with something. But it's good in all of us, right? So even though we were slaves, we still had some good in us.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Even though we were slaves to sin, God still used us to do things for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he used Cyrus heathen king. Yeah. He anointed him. This thing blew my mind when I heard he anointed a heathen king. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing's anointed only for the children of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he used him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even though we are a slave to whatever, whether it's sin or the God, we can get caught up doing the opposite. And grace abounds.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't continue. So the only way to do that is we got to die
daily.
A spirit man needs to be mature. And Paul's effort is to get them to that level where they are mature. They're
mm-hmm.
maturing in God. So they don't have to succumb to the desires of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Because the desires of the flesh gonna be, is there.
Mm-hmm.
But until you crucify that thing, it's going to try to rule. But
mm-hmm.
you got the power to say, hey, you got the power to bring him down. And so Paul is telling them in these verses that you have to yield. In order to be where you first you yield to sin, now you got to yield to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to yield, you cannot be in authority. You
got
to submit in order to yield.
Mm-hmm.
In order to yield to, and you're not yielding to your members.
Mm-hmm.
You're yielding to the power of God in you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you yield to God, then you would omit the work of sin.
Mm-hmm.
You would not walk in sin if you submit yourself, yield
mm-hmm.
your members to God.
Mm-hmm.
So when your mind, you're going to say, God, use my mind today to glorify you.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if a thought come in that is contrary to the will of God, you should be able to reject
it. Yeah.
But if you don't care, you just woke up saying, hey, this is another day. And thoughts just coming in your head, and you're not conscious of this is not God. And because this person did something that teed you off, that you feel you have to give them peace to your mind. You still got to yield and say, God, I don't believe this to you, so take this away from me. And repent from doing, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we get caught up in, oh, you saw how she treated you. But you remember what Jesus said on the cross?
Mm-hmm.
Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can debate that they really know what they were doing. Right? We can debate that people know they hurt out there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can debate that. But the position that Jesus took was he released them. You know what I'm saying? So he released the people.
Yeah, they didn't know what they were doing.
They didn't know what they're doing, so he released them.
Yeah.
So we have the same attitude to release people when they hurt your feelings. They did not know what they're doing, even though we think they do, but for us, for our freedom, we have to release them by saying, because if they knew who I was, they won't be doing this. And that's the attitude we have to have. If they knew that I was the Son of God, ain't no way in the world they'd do this.
You didn't even, some of them did.
Right? And so now the position you're taking is because now your spirit man is the one talking, not your flesh. If your flesh talking,
mm-hmm.
let's get it on.
They don't know who they messing with.
They don't know. I'm from the hood. They don't. I heard people say this in the church. I'm from the hood.
Come
they don't
on
know.
Now.
They don't know.
They're preachers. Don't
But you can't allow that. You have to make sure you govern your members.
That's
govern your members. So when those attitudes come, you got to make sure you take the position.
Mm-hmm.
Set your mind on things above. Because if they talk about your physical body, if you set your mind above, you know this body ain't going nowhere with you.
Mm-hmm.
If they talk about your home or your car or whatever, you know, that thing ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
If your mind is above, you ain't thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
People talking about different things that you, that are carnal, it won't bother you because now your mind is on affection above. So the things that they're talking about don't have the same impact. But if you carnal mind, and they talk about your hair size,
mm-hmm.
they talk about your shoe size, they talk about your nose thing, it's going to bother you. Right? You gonna have an attitude.
They say, back in the day, your mama.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's on. It's on. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Wake up right now.
That's Christian.
Yes, hold me.
Your mama. Your mama.
Yeah, those are fine words. So in order to resist that, the Holy Ghost got to be at work.
Oh, glory.
Because there was a time, man, when I was in 475, if somebody point their fingers, I get chills now with just somebody point their finger in my face, ooh, that thing used to, maybe that's the name delivered to me. That thing used to get me. Oh, my God, I would go. No, it would be, somebody would be bleeding out in a minute. I would go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, people just punch it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's on. But the Holy Ghost got to come in and subdue you, really. That when they do that, I don't pay attention to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just, I don't even think about it. But, the Holy Ghost himself has to bring you above that kind of stuff.
Mm.
If not, man, you'll be right back down in that stuff.
Yeah.
And when, if you do it, you'll feel so bad.
Mm.
Because now your attitude towards sin, you don't want to be caught in sin.
Mm.
You're going to be convicted. You're going to be feeling like you're a wet dog. You don't feel good at all about yourself. Right? Difference between a sinner sinning and a saint sinning.
Mm-hmm.
The conviction that you have, if you do something that you know, the flesh pull you into that thing, and before you know it, you was right in it, man. I mean, right in it. You're gonna be feeling bad when that's over, because you know you done let the Lord down.
Because
you ain't trying to yield your members. It's your not intention, your intention to yield your members to your unrighteousness. You're not trying to do that. But when it happens, that's where grace is.
Thank God.
Grace ain't if you willingly just want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't great. Grace is you really try not your best not to do this thing, and then you got overwhelmed. And grace is saying, okay, so now let's see what we're going to learn from this. Because anytime you fall, anytime you fail, it's for a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
How many times you got to go through a lesson? And I don't like repeating this. So if you fail a class,
you gotta
go through that thing again and again. So we gotta make sure that we when we heal our members, we don't do it for unrighteousness. We want God to be glorified in everything we do. And so that's what makes us feel real bad when we know we missed the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was we got somebody in queue. Your area code is 580. The last four digits is 7354. 7354. You are now live on the air. You got a question or comment?
Come on.
You got a question or comment? Mr. Ollie, do you have a question or comment? Can you hear me? Okay, well, we're going to move on. Okay, so we got to make sure that we're not yielding our members to unrighteousness, because now we are slaves. And Paul used these terms, prisoners, slaves, to show solidarity, to show commitment. Not necessarily that he is just in chain because he done wrong and he's a, you know, no, but he's showing commitment, meaning that I don't want, it ain't about what I want. It's about what God wants. And when Jesus came to earth, he demonstrated that. Everything Jesus did, he said he did it because his Father wanted it. And so that shows commitment to please the Father, please the Master, please the whoever's in control. That's who you want to please. And so that's why he's bringing this analogy of a prisoner and a slave. But as a child of God, you are a child of the King. So you're not really a prisoner, but he's just trying to demonstrate the commitment that you have, that you're not trying to go to the left or to the right. You're trying to stay right down the middle. Whatever the Master wants, that's what you want to do. And when we're in sin, that's what's going to happen. We're going to do this, what sin say do. All these things that people are doing today, and we look at them, how could you even do that? Some people just have their kids in the house, put them in a cage like an animal, don't feed them. And all kinds of stuff. You'd be saying, how could somebody just do that? It's because of sin. Still going to have you doing a whole bunch of stuff and you trying to figure out why. That don't even make sense. So we got to be careful not to yield our members. And so we are serving to whoever we serve. And it says, having been liberated from sin, we became enslaved to righteousness. When we're no longer serving sin, what we want to do is serve God. That's all it's saying. We want to serve God, right? You want to please God. You want God to be pleased with whatever you do, all to bring glory to God. And if we live our lives to bring glory to God, we won't be concerned about ourselves and what we like and what we desire. Because a lot of times, God asks us to do stuff that ain't got nothing to do with our desire, whether we like it or not. Because when you even if you're on a job, that employer do not care what you like. If you made a commitment with them that you're going to come to work, right? So it doesn't matter what you like or don't like. If you sign up, that's the job you're going to do, right? So we have to have that full commitment to God the same way that God has wanted us to do the right thing. He wants us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So now whatever we're thinking about, whatever our thought pattern is going to be above. Not this earth, because this is just temporary. What we're dealing with down here is just temporary. Life's going to really begin when this time zone ends. That's when life really going to begin. And so if you compare with, and I said this a lot, if you compare even if we reach 150 years old, if you ever try to compare that with eternity, there's no comparison. It's like a ink pen is, a dot on that wall. Size of an ink pen, and you compare it with the whole wall. That ain't even big enough. And so, if we realize that this world, all this stuff is just gonna be passed away, we won't get hooked on this stuff. We won't get hooked on the person trying to get this from me or I'm trying to get this. We won't be hooked on that. God has a plan for us already. Follow his plan. he'll tell you day-to-day plan if you need to. Day-to-day, he'll lay things out for you if you want him to. If you think you need him to, he'll lay it out for you day by day. So we don't have to do things on our own. We don't have to go willy-nilly and try to just figure things out. You don't have to. Because God already knows everything that's happening right now, and ain't surprising God. He already knows. And he has a plan in place for all of us. And so we don't have to try to yield ourselves anything, trying to gather anything for this life, because we don't know. you try to gather a bigger, like the man who things were going good, he built all these bonds, right? Or eat and drink and be merry. And that same night, wasn't the same night? What they call him? Same night, it's so required. So don't be concerned about all these things here. This is temporary. And so we have to be stewards of what he gave us. I ain't saying don't be stewards. I say freedom bring responsibility, right? But it's not ours. It's just for, he loaned us while we're here. And so we got to just make sure we're good stewards. But then we don't be loving it, hoarding it, make it love, make the nobody, somebody need a ride to church. And you ain't going to drive in your brand new car. You know what I'm saying? You I'm not going that way today. You'd be surprised folks lie in the church. So you don't ride with in their car. It's amazing. I mean, what are they going to do to your car? If you don't want to sit on that beautiful leather seat, put some towel on it. What are they going to do to your car? If you got something, God gave it to you to bless somebody with. We think our gifts are just for us. Really receive, really give. We got to make sure that we are doing these things to please God. That our object, the whole thing that we do, does God get glory out of it? Does God get glory out of it? How does God get glory out of it? And that will change our thinking. It will change our attitude. We wake up in the morning, okay, God, I want to please you this day. It will change the way our day will go, like Elder was saying. You would wake up focusing on God being glorified. If you do that, I would declare, when Satan walk up to you, you're going to tell him to come to church, huh?
Mm-hmm. Made himself nothing, mm-hmm. and became human servant,
mm-hmm.
Human bond servant.
Mm-hmm.
But none of us want that in our life. We want to look better than the next person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have the mind of Christ,
mm-hmm.
that mindset, and it doesn't come as a spirit, being filled with the spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, and the faithfulness and self-control are produced in us,
mm-hmm.
by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't, you know, you hear people say they are spirit-filled believers, but when we say we are spirit-filled, but we don't see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of us, you know. You wonder then, oh, where's the spirit?
My mama said you tell the spirit by the fruit.
Yes, and Jesus said, you know, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. We have to make sure that our mindset in Jesus being all did not do anything for other than what his father asked. And you know what? When he came out of the water to be baptized, right? God said, before a miracle was done, before anything, he didn't walk on water yet, he didn't do anything. Guess what God said? This is my beloved, at home I'm well pleased. He ain't done nothing yet. I'm saying, The miracles and the work that we saw he had done, but that's what I'm getting to. I'm getting to that he hadn't done any of those things that we think about as being great things. He was just the Son of God. He yielded to the will of God. And so what we're saying is talking about yielding the right way. If once we yield to him, he'll be well pleased. Even if we haven't done those things that we think so quick. Just submit to him, he is well pleased. That's how we bring glory to him. When he is well pleased, that's glory to him. But it only happens when we are yielded. When we surrender to him, to his will. And that's why Jesus said, not my will, yours be done. Because that cross didn't look good to him. Cross didn't look good to us. But we got to make sure we say, not my will, yours be done. Amen? Anybody else? You need to hear from everybody. Everybody good? Amen. So we at verse 19. So we stop at 18 then. I'm going to make sure we're on set. Okay. So we thank God for this lesson. We don't want to, after 1 o'clock, time just flies by. So we thank God for this word, amen, that we can recognize that if we spend the time glorifying God, we don't have to worry about allowing sin to be a part of our lives. But we don't have to yield to sin to be glorifying. Mindset, the mind of Christ, definitely don't even be thinking about ourselves. Be thinking about the will of God. Amen? So we want you to give your offerings. You need an envelope. I got here, pen. I don't have somebody pen.
Giving something online.
Just text Pastor Ann at 770-906-0607. Amen. And we thank God for this day. Thank God for Julian being with us. Miss you. Thank you so much for coming. Pastor Ann will be glad you're here. Sorry she missed you. We thank God for those of you online. Thank God for Sister Ollie and those of all the other ones who are online. We thank God for you. We pray that God continue to bless you. And go ahead and give your offering and then just text it to Pastor Ann so we can give an account for whatever the offering was for noonday Bible study. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to give. We know, oh God, that your word for you to give them back to us through good measures, pressed down, taken together, and running over to men given to our brethren. God, we thank you for opportunity just to sow into your kingdom. We ask you to bless us now, God. Dismiss us from this place right now, but dismiss us. I'm never putting this distance in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you all so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.